Okay, Rabbi Osai, good evening, a good moed. Hope you guys had beautiful siddurim. Today we're learning Maseches Bava Metzia Daf Nun Zayin, and we are starting about 15 lines or so from the bottom of Nun Vav Med Beis. We are discussing where Ona applies and where it doesn't. And if you take one flip back to Daf Nun Hey Med Beis, one flip back to Nun Vav Med Aleph, you'll see that there are cases where there is no Ona. The Mishnah on the bottom of Nun Vav Med Aleph had detailed so that is kind of what we're piggybacking off of over here and trying to see how broad of an application this idea is about Ona applying to certain things. So Boirova, Chiten, you have wheat, Vizaran Bikarka, and you planted them in the ground. And what's missing from the Gemara is an important piece of information. Which said, no, we're on the bottom of Nun Vav Amid Beis, 15 lines from the bottom at Boirova. So says the Gemara, if you are chitin, if you have chitin, vizaran, bikarka, and you planted them, but they have yet to be mashrish, they have yet to start growing. So then, mahu, yesh lahem ona, o ein lahem ona, would there be ona on such a thing? What is the lamdus behind each side? Says the Gemara, is it kiman deshadion bikada damyon? Is it like it's still sitting in the container? Right? You planted wheat seeds. It's time. You planted wheat seeds. During that time, is there going to be any isra ona on a sale about those wheat seeds? Again, it's a little bit of a vague question. We're going to chisel down on what the question means. But the principled chakira here is, do we say it's kiman deshadion b'chad adamion? It's like it's in a pitcher, v'yesh lahem ona, and therefore, why not? Why would there not be ona? It's a regular product, right? Remember, what we're talking about is our Mishnah said karka. So now here's the lumbus. When do we say seeds become part of the karka? Right, because karka has no ona. If I plant seeds in the ground, so do they automatically become ona? They automatically become karka. So do we say it's kamad shaj the bechad adamyan, and there's ona odilma, but linhu al gav ara. This is the Gemara's question. In other words, what is our line in the sand with when seeds become batel to the ground? In which case, there's no ona by karka, or when are they still metaltalin? That is the Gemara's question. So the Gemara, hechidami. Ileima de amar ihu shadoi ara, shadoi ba shisa, va asusade, ramlodo shadaba chamisha. If I had made a commitment, I'm going to plant six, and I only planted five, amar rava, that's not a shaila of ona, that's a shaila of mekachtos. You and I just didn't agree. That's not me charging you too much. That's me being dishonest. That's a totally separate sugya. Ona is where I take an item that's worth five and sell you for seven. That's ona. But here, it's I told you I was going to do X and I did Y. I told you I'm selling you a car that is green and I sold you a car that is blue. I told you there was a car that would work and I sold you a car that is only for parts. It says the Gemara, that can't be the case over here with the chitin because v'ha'amar rava kol davar shebemida v'shebemishkal v'shebeminyan. Whenever you're making a sale that can be measured or that can be weighed or that has a number to it, forget about ona. No matter what, it's going to be chozer. That is a din. That is a din that is chozer because it's a mekach tov. So it can't be that what we're talking about over here in this case with the chitin that we've planted is that I told you I was going to do X and I did Y because that would just be a straight up mekach tov. Ella says the Gemara three lines before the wide lines on Nun Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara says Ella de Omar Ihu. Shadai ba kedi iboila. I'm just going to throw seeds on the ground as much as is needed, right? Let's just imagine that we have all these little furrows in the ground. I plant a seed every 6 inches. I don't know how it works. All right. So then you just take the seeds. Now machines do it all. You take the seeds and you do it every. I didn't do it every 6 inches. I did it every 9 inches. I did it wrong. Okay, I did it wrong. It's not that we agreed to an amount. I gave you a rough sketch of what I'm going to do, which is I'm going to plant the right amount. The igloy mils. I found out later. Or you found out later. So yesh lahem ono, ein lahem ono. Do we say kaman deshadi b'chad adamyan? Is it like it's still sitting in the pitcher, right? Or v'yesh lahem ono, odilma bat linhu agav ara. And similarly, we have another similar type of question. Nishbayin alein o ein nishbayin alein. In a scenario where a shvua comes up, and Rashi, 10 lines, 12 lines from the bottom, says, and it's a case of modeh b'miksas, where a shua does come up, would we say about the chitin that it's modeh b'miksa, same shaila, meaning what's the threshold when it becomes batel to the ground? Do we say kiman deshadron b'chad adamim v'nishbayin alein o dilma bat linu agav ar v'nishbayin alein? And then similarly, and guys, this is yesterday's daf. What was yesterday? The 16th of Nisan. What happened in Jewish history on the 16th of Nisan? Hakravas HaOmer. 2 days ago, we had on Daf, on the 14th of Nisan, we had a reference to the Korban Pesach. Today, on the 16th of Nisan, for the first time in hundreds of blot, in the middle of Bava Metzia, again, a little neshika, the Gemara says, what about the Omer, Matirin? When it comes to Omer, is that which is planted in the ground, does the Omer Matir those seeds which are planted in the ground if they're from this past year's batch? Obviously, they're from this past year's batch. They're seeds that are ready to plant. He just harvested them. And the 16th of Nisan would be a matir that you could eat them. Oh no, or maybe we should say, Ein Omer Matiran, because it's really bottled to the ground now. Same shadows again. I just don't understand how every year there's so much Hashgacha Pratis when it comes to Daf Yomi. How many days a year? We have like 20 significant things that happen in Daf Yomi. It's incredible. My kids already know, like, oh, okay, it was in today's Daf. Like, no. No, but like one of my kids, we had a mamash mefurish a Mishnah. My daughter, I came home that night and she said something. I'm like, oh, that was. She's like, I know. Yes, it's in the Daf. I know.
That's amazing.
I'm like, hopefully, when you're older, this will all click a little bit more. But we are not in charge here. So says the Gemara in regards to the case of the Omer Hechidami. What's the case? Idi Ishrush Tanina. If it already took root, we don't need our case over here. We don't need Rava to declare the Shaila. That's already stated in a Mishnah. And Idi Lo Ishrush Tanina as well. If it had yet to take root, then that's also not a Shaila because we have a Mishnah that says explicitly that's not. Yimishrishu Kodem La Omer. Omer Matiran. If in fact it was rooted before the Omer would be Matirat, Ve'im Lav. If it was not, then Asur Nashiva Omer Abba. I would have thought it would have been the opposite, actually, but we're not going to get into the lumdas of this Mishnah. And says the Gemara, therefore, we don't know what the case was. Says the Gemara, Lo Tzricha, what's the case of the Omer? Because we don't need Rava to clear a Shaila about Hishrishu. No, the case was Dechatzdinhu Vizarinhu Kodem La Omer, that Rashi says, Dechatzdinhu Min HaChadosh, we separated from the Chadosh. And we really did need it to be matir, and then we planted it before the Omer. But asale Omer v'chalif, we switched it out. V'lo ishrush kodem la'omer. A little bit of a cockamamie case. You planted it, you took it out. Okay, one of those kinds of cases. Mahu says the Gemara. Mahu leminkad, are we allowed to eat it? Because after all, the hakravas Omer is on the 16th, and I just plucked it out of the ground on the 17th. Do we say commanded shadyon b'chad adami v'sharinhu? It's as if it was in the pitcher, and had the seeds been in the pitcher before, and I never planted it, it wouldn't have been omer. I mean, it wouldn't have been limited by the omer. It would have been included. It would have had the omer as a matir v'sharinhu omer. Odilma badlino agavara take. We don't have an answer to any of these questions. We just don't know. We have no idea. By Hilchos Shabbos, we have this idea: are you allowed to put out seeds on the ground in order to feed chickens? It's discussed in the poskim. It's discussed in the Gemara, I think, actually. I remember correctly somewhere, I think. You're allowed to put out seeds that are an appropriate amount of food for your chickens to eat, as long as it's with less than 3 days' worth of food, because otherwise it could be nishrash. We want to be careful about planting on Shabbos. These are shilas that come up. Let's say that I know someone planted something on Shabbos. So I really should take it out of the ground, even without their permission, l'chorin. So that's a din in the beginning, Masechet Shabbos, Dav Dal, Chatok Deshiz Kechavercha. That's like, remember the case there where
side of the oven, right?
It's on the side of the oven. The case of Chatok, whereas where someone took some dough, they put it on the side of the bread, which was how they made their bread back in the day. It was sticky. It was stuck on the side. For us, that wouldn't work because our bread is very heavy and it's not sticky like that. It's a little sticky, not the same. So that's a big, we paskin that we're not Chatok. Okay, let's come back. Says the Gemara Nun Zayin Malalaf, let's continue. Amar Rava, Rava teaches Amar Rachasa, Boy Rav Ami. Okay, I understand that in our Mishnah on the bottom of Nun Vav Amud Aleph, you detailed items that were ona ein lahem. You had said that there were a number of items that have no ona. Namely, we had said avadim shtaros karkan hekdeshos. That's what we said in our Mishnah. I understand, but if you do have a deviation in the amount that you charge on those items, do we have bittul mekach yesh lahem? Oh, ein lahem. Do we say that there's bittul mekach? In other words, I understand that there's no iser ona. But is there a threshold at which we say mekach tos? Does that exist? Bittul mekach is actually the language that we have said earlier about when you get even more than the 1/6 margin. But here, this is honestly more of a borrowed term than it would typically be used. It really should be one of mekach tos. That's what Rashi says over here. Bittul mekach, if it's yosher mishasus. But what do you mean yosher mishasus? There's no onah. So the Gemara says, I know. We're just asking, like, is there Is there a moment in time where we say, for example, if the item is 5 and I charge 7, would we say bitul mekach, or would we say no? Not only is there no onah, but there's no upper limit of what you can charge either.
Isn't that moment we're talking about 4 hour completely?
Where?
I guess I should understand this question. Bitul mekach is you overcharge but didn't overpromise.
You're just overcharged. You overpromise
at a ridiculous price.
The Gemara wants to know: is the sale just null and void? If I charge you 1/4 extra,
by
right?
A karka which has no onah.
Right. So the Gemara is saying, I understand onah ein lehem. I understand, but does when you say there's no onah, do we remove the built-in safeguard that the mekach is batel when it's beyond a shesus? That's the Gemara's question. Amar Rav Nachman, Hadar Amar Rav Chasa, Pashit Ravami, Ona Ein Lahem. It is in fact true that what our Mishnah said is correct. Not that that was ever the question, but there is no Ona with those things in our Mishnah. But Bitul Mekach Yesh Lahem. We still have a natural automatic upper limit. If it's more than a sixth, the sale is gone. It's as if it didn't happen. Rav Yona Amar Ahekdeshos. Rav Yermi Amar Akarkos, they limit this. Rav Yona says, when do we have this rule of Ein Lahem Bitul Mekach? Sorry, I said it. I made a mistake. Sorry, let me just go back to the fifth line. Amar Rav Nachman Hadar Amar Rav Chasa Pashi Ravami Ono Ein Lahem and Bitul Mekach Yesh Lahem. Okay, good. Sorry. Yes, that's correct. I read it right the first time. That bitul mekach is something that we do have a built-in upper limit. Where do we say that we have this rule that the bitul mekach applies? What we're above 1/6. Let's say I charge you an extra 20, 30%, whatever it is, that it's automatically null and void. Rav Yona says it's by hekdesh. Rav Yirmiya says it's by karkos. The tarvaihu, both Rav Yona and Rav Yirmiya, mishmei de Rav Yochanan amru. They both said the same thing, that Ona Ein Lahem and Bitul Mekach Yesh Lahem, we just didn't know its scope of application. Does it apply only to Hekdesh, or does it also apply, or does it apply to Karka? Now, because Rav Yonah and Rav Yirmiya were of the same ilk, they both were Talmidim of Rav Yochanan, which I didn't know until today, but because that's true, we have to figure out how they interplay with one another. Man de Amar Ahekdeshos, one who says that we have this rule, that there is bitul mekach by hekdesh kol shekein akarkos, but man de amar akarkos we have bitul hekdesh bitul mekach aval hekdeshos lo. Perhaps it's the case that by hekdesh we would not have this rule because hekdesh is on a higher level. Says the Gemara, this might be kiddush Shmuel to amar Shmuel hekdesh shava mana shechila lo shava pruta mechulam. It's a fascinating idea, hekdesh. If it is mechulal, if we make a transfer of hekdesh, it's worth a mana, and we transfer it onto something, a coin, that is way less than the value of the item itself, but it's hekdesh mechulal. The halacha is that the transfer works. What does that show you? That there's no bitul mekach. So that's a raya brura for the Shittim. Says the Gemara, a third of the way down on Nun Zayin and Aleph, we'll be heading to the bottom of Nun Zayin and Beis. I don't have a choice. I didn't have enough time today. I wish I did. And we'll have to record and post an Amud in the morning, and then we'll do regular Blatt on Shabbos. And then while we're talking, we'll do a Shir Sunday. Sunday night is Yantid?
Sunday night.
Right? Is that correct?
Sunday night.
I just said Sunday night Yantid.
Yeah, Sunday night.
So then Sunday morning, we'll do Sunday stuff, and then both Monday and Tuesday, we'll do one Blatt each. I don't know what time it is, but we'll look in the schedule.
Shabbos is going to be only one.
Shabbos is one. No, Shabbos is 1.5. Tomorrow I'm going to do a half in the morning to catch up. Shabbos is 1.5. Sunday morning is 1. And Monday, Tuesday in the afternoon. I'm probably just going to record and post. Are you in our WhatsApp chat? I'd love to get you in. Or not, whichever you prefer. Not forcing your hand. Okay. So it says the Gemara Tanan Hasim, a third of the way down. Im hoya kodesh, if we had something that was hektish and it became a balmum and we transferred the kedusha onto another animal, the animal that's a balmum is yatza l'chulin. But if there's a difference in price between the balmum and the new animal, v'tzarech lasos lo damim, we have to pay for the difference between them. Amar Rav Yochanan looked at this mishnah and said, yatza l'chulin, when we send out the balmum to graze, and we have to pay the difference between the balmum and the tmura animal, davar Torah, we have to pay the animal midoraisa. V'tzarach lasos l'damim yatzachulin davar Torah. V'tzarach lasos lahem lasos l'damim midibrei. The difference financially that we have to pay is only a din derabbanan. So let's just create a case scenario. I have an animal that's kodesh. It's worth $95. Just found a moo. It's kosher for shechita. It's kosher for a lot of things. It's just not kosher for the base of mikdash. So I could sell it for 95 cents on the dollar, but I have to buy at 100 cents on the dollar. So there's a $5 differential between the two animals. So midoraisa, there is a difference between the two. And midoraisa, we say that the animal is yatzal l'chulin. However, the price difference, the $5, Rabbi Yochanan says that's a din derabbanan. That the difference of $5 that I have to pay is $5, is a din derabbanan. Reish Lakish lamar, af tzarech la'asos lo damim min haTorah. The din d'oraisa that we have to pay that extra $5, not just the din d'rabbanan. So the Gemara asks, "B'may askinan, ilema b'chdei ona." If we're saying b'chdei ona is code word for 1/6, exactly 1/6. Ilema, if we're talking about a case that's b'chdei ona, exactly 1/6. B'ha, in such a case, lema reish lakish tzarech la'asos lo damim davar Torah. There's no way that anyone could hold that exactly 1/6 would be a din d'oraisa, because v'hatznan elu dvarim shein lahem ono hakarkos v'avadim v'ashtaros v'ha-hekdeshos. And we're dealing with hekdesh. There's no possible way in the world that we could say that. And remember what we said above. There's not even bitl that there is bitl mekach, but it's only beyond 1/6. So how can you say Rish Lakish says it's a din d'oraisa? Ella, perhaps what we're talking about is we're talking about bitl mekach. And b'ha, if that's true that we're talking about bitl mekach in this brisa, lema Rabbi Yochanan tzarech lasos l'damim midivrehem, how can you say that he has to pay midivrehem if there's bitl mekach? Because if there's bitl mekach, that means that the animal was never hektish in the first place. V'amar Rabbi Yonah ahektashos. We saw earlier that the din of Rav Yochanan, where we said that there was bitl mekach, that it does apply to hektish. Rav Yirmi Amar Akarkos, but Rav Yirmi Amar Akarkos, like we saw above, Amri. So says the Gemara, what did we see over there? O no, ein lahem, but bitl mekach yesh lahem. So how do we understand this brisa? Do we say it's derabbanan, that paying the difference between the animal that was a balmum and the replacement animal, do we say like Rav Yochanan that it's a din derabbanan, or do we say like Resh Lakish that it's a din d'oraisa? Says the Gemara, a bunch of answers. The olam, and we're 12 lines or so from the bottom, the olam bebitl mekach, the brisa. The Mishnah, I should say, that we saw a third of the way down of Kodesh, Imhaya Kodesh Balmum Yatzal Chulim Sarach Lasas Lodomim, that had to do with Bitl Mekach, that had to do with the cancellation of the sale, Ve'epuch. We had to switch the Shitas, the Rabbi Yochanan, the Reish Lakish, or the Reish Lakish, the Rabbi Yochanan. Really, Rabbi Yochanan was the one who said that there's a din deoraisa that you have to pay the difference. Why would Rabbi Yochanan say that? Because he said there's Bitl Mekach. Bitl, the whole thing is done for. And therefore, your animal is a zero. And we also switch with the Reish Lakish, the Rav Yochanan, we switch their shitas. And b'may kemiflagei, what now would they be arguing about if we switch their shitas? The Gemara says, b'de Shmuel. What does Shmuel say? To Amar, Shmuel, hekta shava mona shechilalo al shava pruta mechula. We had said earlier that there's a din of Shmuel that if I am mechalal maos of hektish that are very expensive onto a pruta, which is a very small coin, the chilul works. So therefore, Mar Islay le Shmuel, one shita holds like Shmuel, Mar Lesle de Shmuel. So that's one approach as to how we could understand the Machlokas of Yochanan and Reish Lakish, Bide Epoch, where we switch their shitas as it relates to the Mishnah quoted 1/3 of the way down. Maybe everybody holds of Shmuel that the chilul works from a mana onto a pruta of hektish. That yes, if you do it, it works, but it's not a din lechatchila. Not a din l'chatchila to be machalal hektish from a mana onto a pruta. The monies are completely off. And even though it works, mechanically it works in halacha, but it's not a din l'chatchila. Mar savar afilo l'chatchila. So that's another possible way to skin the cat, another possible way to understand the machlokas of Yochanan Reish Lakish, again, with the flipped model of the epuch, where the shitas above are reversed. Anybody say Malaolam Bichdeona, really we are dealing with a 1/6 margin, like we rejected above. Really, we are dealing with a case of a 1/6 margin. Vilo tepuch, and don't switch their shitas around. We're two lines from the bottom of the page. Ubid Rav Chizda kemiflagin. Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish are arguing about the shita of Rav Chizda. What does Rav Chizda say? Do Omar, my ain lahem ona. What did it mean when we said earlier, ain lahem ona? What did it mean in our Mishnah on the bottom? That was how the Mishnah's language was. What does it mean? It doesn't mean that there's no Isser Hana in a limited scope. It means it's not Shaykh to the world of Ona at all. Not just that we don't trigger, we're not involved. There's no such thing as Ona. It's not a sixth. It's not a sixth. We're only dealing with one issue. It says the Gemara, as we turn to the top of Nun Zayin Amud Beis, because we're not dealing with Ona, it seems to be we're dealing with something else. You lied. You did something that you shouldn't have done. You said that there was an amount that's not correct. That's not how it works. There's no din of Ona by any of these things. If there's any deviation, the sale is batel umuvutal. That's what the Gemara says. There's no din of Ona. I'll say the Gemara, wait a second. You're saying that our Mishnah Nun Vav is not even Petoras Hana. There's nothing at all to do with Ona. Hold on. Mesve, top of Nun Zayin Amud Beis. We'll be going until two lines to the bottom of the page. Ribis, okay. Ribis,
makes you shake.
Yeah, a little bit. I do get pretty scared by it. And someone also freaked me out about Ezim Nesha.
Yeah.
We're getting there. We're getting there. How many more blocks?
Not just your Yerushalayim.
It's not Yerushalayim.
Actually,
no. Total Chisaron and Talmud Torah. Just, we're getting there. We'll know it by the end, I hope, a little bit. Says the Gemara. Ribis ve'ona lehedyot. We have ribis, which is the isser of lending with interest. Ve'ona, which is the isser of charging a sixth beyond the charge. That applies lehedyot. Ve'ein ribis ve'ona lehekdish. And there is no ribis or ona by hekdish. Now, much as it's true that it seems that it's categorical, what the Gemara is picking up on over here was the distinction we made on the bottom of the page, that we said that it's not just that Ein Lehem Ona, but it's Einan B'Toras Ona. We're completely out of the camp when we talk about Hekdesh this way. So the Gemara says, Mi Alima, Mi Mas Nisan. What, this little Brisa of Ribis Ve'Ona by Hedyot, this is stronger than our Mishnah, which isn't even B'Toras Ribis, De'ukimna B'Toras Ona. Hachanami Ribis V'Din Ona Lehedyot, Ve'Ein Ribis V'Din Ona Lehekdesh. Says the Gemara, don't worry. That's what we mean. We mean the same thing. They're both the same. When it comes to Hekdesh, there's zero Ona. There's not, you're stuff taught. If you're talking about Ona around Hekdesh, you're an Am Haaretz. There's no Hekdesh. There's no Ona by Hekdesh at all. It says the Gemara, Ihachi, if that's true, Hainu Diktoni Seifa, then we have the Brisa. What does the Brisa say in its conclusion? Ze Chomer Behedyot mi Behekdesh. That we have this line where there's a stringency by Hedyot more than Hekdesh. And what is that talking about? Aribis. Oh, this is like one of the only places where there's something more strict about a Hedyot transaction than there is about a Hekdesh transaction. And that is that there's a ribis for a balabas for a Hedyot, but there's no ribis for Hekdesh. Says the Gemara, listening to Nami, why don't we also say in the end of that brisa, Zechomer behekdesh mi behedyot, a'ono. Why don't we say that there are some other things that exist as well, that there's Ona by one and not by the other? Says Gemara, Hachi Hashta, what are you even talking about? Bishlam azechomer behedyot mi behekdesh. I understand the first direction where we highlight a difference between a hedyot, between the transactions between hedyotos and hekdesh, because v'sulo, there only is really one difference, which is ribis. Ela hekdesh, zechomer v'sulo, when it comes to hekdesh, there's 100 differences between hekdesh, which is on a much loftier level than when we are discussing hedyotos. So says the Gemara, and the Gemara therefore takes that rhetorical response and accepts it. But the Gemara wants to know, what was the Havamina? Ribis de Hekdesh Hechidami. What was the thinking? I know there is no ribis by Hekdesh, because that's what the Brisa says at the top. But what were we thinking in the first place when we said ribis, that there's Hekdesh by ribis? Hechidami. Ilema de Osfei Gizbar Mea, Bemea, the Esrim. If the treasurer takes $100 of Hekdesh and he invests it, he gives a loan and says, I'll give you $100 to get you where you need to be today, but you have to pay me back $120 tomorrow. Ma'alo ma'ala gizbar. That's me'ila. That's not ribis territory. That's me'ila. You're not allowed to do that. It's any hana. We already have a term for that. It's almost like the term of ribis is the wrong term for hekdesh. If you abuse hekdesh in that way, it's me'ila. It's not ribis. It says the Gemara, And when that happens, yatsuma osav l'chulin v'habaluhu tehedyot. And at the end of the day, it's hedyot money. So there's a cycle that if we have hektish dollars and the gizbar cashes in for the sake of making money, not only is it not ribis and it's me'ila, but now it's no longer hektish. So there's no metzias of ribis by hektish. It's a great point. It's a really sophisticated point that you can't have ribis by hektish, because the second you misspend the money, it's not, it's first and foremost me'ila, and then it's yatzal l'chulin. Now it's not hektish anymore. So Amar Rav Hoshaya, a quarter of the way down on Nun Zayin on the base, Hacha b'maya skinan kigon shekibel alav, you accepted it upon yourself, l'sapek siltos me'arba, you had agreed to give over siltos, to give over the fine flour at a cost of four, the amdu mishalosh, and now the cost changed and it became more pricey. Kidatanya, the Brisa writes this way. This is a Brisa in Maseches Shkalim that we learned 3 years ago. I'm sure we all remember it well. Hamakabel alav l'sapek siltos me'arba ve'amdu shalosh. If I had agreed to support Hektish in giving the fine flowers, and the cost used to be four and now it's three, m'sapek me'arba, then I have to pay the larger number. Mishalosh ve'amdu me'arba, misapek me'arba. Same as always. Whatever number you said you're going to give is the number you have to give. Sheyad hektish al ha'elyon. Whenever you're interacting with hektish, they're all, it's like lahavdil elef alfei abdolos. It's like the casinos where the house always wins. You saw where I was going with that? Okay, just making sure. It's a big, big mahavdil. Yeah. Yeah, I know, yeah. There probably is one. That's a Shegetz example, but... So that's what the Gemara says is the case that we're dealing with when we talk about the possibilities of ribis. It would be in a space like this, where there's a market flux, not where I loan the money, because again, if I loan out hektish money, it becomes chulin and it's not ribis, it's me'ilim. Rav Papa Amar, no. What was the case scenario where we were potentially dealing with ribis by hektish? It says the Gemara, a very sensitive thought. People generously donated Jerusalem stone to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. I can envision it. I can imagine. Mirtz Hashem Bekarov, it's Nisan. Hirsch Poland's alive. Miracles are happening. So I can just imagine. Mashiach comes, the Beis HaMikdash is being built. A family wants to donate all of the Jerusalem stone for a few million. I can see the crates coming in. They're being delivered by forklift. It's a beautiful vision. They're being delivered by forklift. All the gold is coming in. It's going to be a beautiful sight. It says the Gemara, here's the din about those Jerusalem stones. Kiddush Shmuel, Damar Shmuel, Bonin Bichol. We treat them like chulin from the beginning, but only the Achar Kach Makdishin. What were we concerned about? So the Mefarshim explained that what we were concerned about was a person misusing them and coming to some type of ribbit, some type of me'ila by misappropriating the funds. So just a beautiful, the halachic piece is the halachic piece, but it's beautiful to envision and to think about what things might be in the coming days. But all of the materials of the Beis HaMikdash were chulin until the building was done. Let's say you had extra bricks and you could make a couple bucks on the deal. Let's say, all the what ifs of how the money could be spent. The Achar Kach Makdishin. Which one? Yeah.
It explains, it's fascinating. Everything has to be won on credit.
Correct.
Because if you donate them in hektish and the builder sits down to eat his lunch on it, he was mal.
Right. We take everything as a loan. It was all to protect the people who were the donors. So they made a pledge. They made a pledge. Yeah, it's just so easy to violate the Elam. Beautiful. Halfway down at the two dots, we had said, Ein bahen tashlume kefel. What was this talking about? So if we look back at our Mishnah now, two blot ago, on Nun Vavam and Aleph, we had said in that Mishnah that these items of avadim shtaros hektesho, karkos hektesho's, we had said, Ein lahem tashlume kefel velo tashlume arba v'chamisha, that there is no din of kefel by these items. So the Gemara wants to know why that's the case. How do we know that there's no kefel by these items? The Tanu Rabban, and this is a klal upradu klal gemara, but not a difficult one. Mamish not. Says the gemara as follows. The Tanu Rabban, and we have a brisa. We actually learned this brisa already. When we learned it in Baba Kama, it was very difficult because of the context. We were also up against a ribui, a miut ribui. It's a little difficult, but over here it's cleaner. Al kol aveda, the pasuk says, I'll just read the whole pasuk so we have the whole context. Al kol dvar pesha, al shorach, al chamor, al se, al sama, al kol aveda, sho yomar ki huze, adu elokim yavo dvar shnehem, asho yoshim, elokim yashalim shnaim lerehu. The pasuk in Sefer Shmos Kaf Beis Ches is the pasuk that teaches us the din of kefel. So it's from here that we're going to see that we can't apply kefel to our Mishnah. So let's learn the drasha. Al kol dvar pesha, on any crime, klal. But then the Torah specifies al shor, al chamor, al se, al salma, prat. Very specific. These are the items. Then al kol aveda sheyomar ki uzeh, the pasuk has another kol, chazar uklal. Klal ufratu klal iatadon elakena prat. When we have a pasuk that's structured with general, followed by specific, and then again followed by general, we make a theme out of whatever the pratim are. Maha prat mefurash davar hametaltel v'gufo mamon. Just like the pratim, all of the pratim in the pasuk, shor, chamor, se, and salma, a cow, a donkey, a sheep, and a garment, all of those things are mefurash davar hametaltel, they're metaltelin, begufo mamon, and they have inherent value. Av kol davar hametaltel begufo mamon, then that then includes all of those things which will then be chayiv in kefel. However, because of this parameter, because of these common denominators of the prat, yatsu karko she'enin metaltelin, we can't include karka in kefel because it's metaltelin and it's not davar hametaltel. Yatsu avadim shukshu lekarkos, and by proxy we have to exclude avadim because avadim are like karka. Yatsu shtaro she'afal pi shemetaltelin hein, shemetaltelin, kama, ein gufan mama. That I picked up a shtar, we discussed this yesterday, if I pick up a shtar and the shtar says it includes my house is worth $1 million, paper's worth literally whatever laser paper is printed, it's got a few bucks. But it's representative of more money. But the etzim, the paper, is not worth what's written on the paper, right? The papers might be at Target, I could buy for $2, but the paper might represent $1 million in sales. That doesn't fit with the pratim. The pratim have a common denominator that they were gufo mamon, that their value was, that their the item was valuable. Here by shtaros, the item is not valuable. And hekdeshos, amar kra, re'ehu. Re'ehu velo hekdesh. When do we say that there's kefel only by re'ehu in the very same pasuk? That's what the pasuk says at the end of the pasuk. Yishalim shnayim le're'ehu. We only pay kefel to a re'ah. We don't pay a kefel payment to hekdesh. Velo tashlume dalad v'hei. We also don't pay dalad v'hei. It's a little bit of an interesting havamina. If you're not paying kefel, wouldn't you have assumed from the same drasha that you don't pay dalad v'hei? Wouldn't we have assumed that they were inextricably bound? That once we say there's no kefel, by definition, there's no such thing as dalad v'hei. The Gemara entertains and rejects my taima. Because tashlumei dalad v'hei amar rachmana, v'lo tashlumei shlosha v'arba. Brilliant answer of the Gemara. No, my havamin is wrong. I said, aren't they inextricably bound? Why are they inextricably bound? Maybe there's no kefel. And therefore, there's no dalad v'hei, but we subtract two. Maybe there's two and three for mechira and for shechita. Let's say I don't steal your animal. I just walk into your yard and shecht it. So the Gemara says, no, because the Torah says, dalad v'hei velo shlosha be'arba. An interesting little play. There's a lumdus here to distinguish. It's now clear that the din of kefil and the din of dalad v'hei are, in fact, different, but we have a problem with the psukim because the psukim say dalavei and that doesn't work. We had also said shomer chinam eno nishba, that again going back to these items in the bottom of nun vav amud aleph in the Mishnah, we had also said over there that when it comes to avodim shtaros and karka and hektish, we said that the rules of shmira are different. We said that by a shomer chinam eno nishba and by a nosei sachar, which is a shomer sachar, the last line of nun vav amud aleph, we had said eno mishalim. Let's learn why that's true. So at the two dots, 3/4 of the way down, we say, Shomer chinam einu nishba minuani mili tana rabbanon. Here's another type of limud. Ki yitain isha re'ehu klal. Let's look at the whole pasuk. Ki tenisha reu kesev ochelim lishmor. The pesukim by Shmira v'gunav mi beis ha'ish imi masay agana v'shalim shnayim. Kefel from Shmira. That's what the Gemara is discussing. So the Gemara says the first part of the pasuk is ki tenisha reu. That's a klal, any item. Then we have kesef ochelim, which is a prat. Then we have a bit of a girsa challenge over here. And if you look on the side in os katan gimel, you'll see that the language should just be lishmor. That's what should replace the parentheses. That's chazar uklal. Klal upratu klal, yatadon, elakena prat. Whenever we have a pasuk that begins with the klal, drills down to the prat, and then steps back out to 30,000 feet to the klal, we always follow the common denominator of that prat. Maha prat mefurash davar hametaltel v'gufo mamon, af kol davar hametaltel v'gufo mamon. Same exact limud, but we needed to repeat it because the previous pasuk was talking about stam kefel, and this pasuk is talking about shmira kefel. So therefore, in this pasuk as well, we have the same common denominators, but the exclusions are all the same. Yatsu karkos, 10, 12 lines from the bottom. Yatsu karkos, she'enon metaltolin. Karka is not metaltolin. Yatsu avadim shukshila karkos. We had already said that by proxy, avadim are similar to karka. Yatsu shtaro shalpish metaltolin, she'metaltolin, ein gufan mamon. We had already said that there is no inherent value in the paper. What's written on the paper is very valuable, but the paper itself is not valuable. So that also is not subject to the regular rules of Shmira. So a Shomer, if you, I'll just say it this way, we do this socially, like, you watch my stuff, Shomer Chinam, I just have to go to the bathroom, I just have to go to the whatever. So if it's Karka, it doesn't work. The rules of Shmira are not the same. It only applies by things that are metaltolin. So therefore, Lemaisa, Halacha Lemaisa, if you are holding my shtar, it is the shtar that will get me $1 million in cash. Your rules of Shmira, when I say I'm going to the bathroom, Shomer Chinam, completely moot. Completely irrelevant because it doesn't fit the drasha. It's ein gufan mamon. There's no, the value of the words on the paper could be $1 million, but the paper is not worth $1 million. So therefore, it's not shayach. The rules of shomer chinam don't apply. And hekdesho, same as before, amar kra re'ehu re'ehu velo shel hafish. And last but not least, no se sachar einu mishalim. How do we know about a shomer sachar? And we'll learn this drasha till the end of the page. It's the same exact limud for the third time, just a different set of psukim. This is yet another pasuk. Let's see the whole pasuk. Says the Gemara, last of the short lines. How would we know a shomer sachar is ein mishalim? That the shmira of a shomer sachar with avadim, with karkaos, with ekdeshos, and what's the fourth one, with shtaros? How would we know those don't apply to a shomer sachar? All three of these psukim are needed because they're all different halachic sugyas, but the limit is exactly the same. The common denominator, when do regular rules apply by Shmira? When do regular rules apply by Kefel? When do regular rules apply by Shomer Sachar? They only apply when the common denominator is Metaltalin and that the item has inherent value. Yatsu Karkos, four lines from the bottom, She'enin Metaltalin. Yatsu Avadim Shukshula Karkos. Yatsu Shtar Sha'afavish Metaltalin, Ein Gufan Mamon. Hekdeshul Samarkar, Re'ehu, Re'ehu, Velo Shel Hekdesh. So in all of these cases, we've doubled down and explained why our mission on the bottom of Nun Vav Med Aleph says what it says. We understand that Avadim, Shtaros, Karkos, and Hekdesh, we've seen it four times already, they don't fit the regular rules of Ona. They don't fit the regular rules of Shmira because the Pratim and the Psukim exclude them by their nature. The common denominators where regular rules apply is where an item is Metaltalin and where the item has inherent value. If you break any of those rules, Ona doesn't apply. Your regular rules of Shmira don't apply as a Shomer Chinam. Same for a Shomer Sacha. We'll stop right here. Imir Hashem, tomorrow we'll learn at least one Amud. I'll probably just get to the bottom of Nun Ches Amud Aleph and stop. On Shabbos, we'll pick up. I have no idea what time Daf is. And we'll learn Nun Ches Amud Beis and Nun Tes, and we'll stop here. Wishing you all beautiful. Wishing you all beautiful.